First of all, I would like to say good morning. Good morning to you all. Such a blessing to have the strength and the health to come together to study this morning. I pray that God will be with me this morning as I deliver the good news or deliver the gospel, the word of God to you this morning. I'd like to thank the elders for allowing this to be possible. I'd like to thank Brother Spencer for allowing me and giving me the opportunity to come before you this morning to preach. What we're now about to hear is the word of God. I encourage you to open up your Bibles, to follow along with me. Make sure that what I'm saying is the truth. And if you are interested in going to heaven after a while, this Bible is what you need. You'll have to heed all the commandments within the Bible. Amen. The title of this morning's lesson is Christ is Superior to All Things. Amen. And this is the truth. Christ is superior to all things. All things on this earth, all things below this earth, and all things that are in heaven. Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
And with being the Son of God comes equality with God. Christ is above all things. He reigns sovereign. He is the head of the church. Christ is superior to all things. Christ is superior to all world powers. This morning we're going to look at a few things, well, a couple of the things that Christ is superior to. And one of these things is Christ is superior to world powers. During Christ's time here on earth, the Roman Empire was in effect. Here's some information and facts about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the most powerful confederation of the time. The Roman Empire lasted for 1,101 years. If you count the Eastern Roman Empire, it would be 2,078 years. However, the Roman Empire died and its power failed. That's the truth for all the great empires of the world. You can look at Great Babylon, which is a head of gold, according to the book of Daniel, to where this king was so powerful. We read that his glory exceeded into heaven, but that government failed. Then you have the Persian government. Do you remember Esther with that great king? That was the Persian government. Also, very powerful. It failed. The Greek empire, which was as bronze, still very powerful. We use their language today. We use their customs today. It failed. But one thing that will not fail is the Church of Christ.
Amen.
The church Christ built. We just sung a song, It Shall Stand. It's built on a rock. Christ is that rock.
Amen.
That rock will never fail and it will never be destroyed. We just sung the song. The kingdoms of earth pass away one by one. Kingdoms of earth are in distress all the time. They fail. But the Church of Christ will never fail.
Amen.
Let us open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is the power of Christ's kingdom. The kingdom has already been set up, but Christ will come back to regain the kingdom. He will come back and take back the kingdom. We read here that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. When Christ came the first time, how did he come? He came lowly. He was in a stable. He was born in a manger. A very lowly death. Seems like somebody like Christ, if he comes, it'll come with such glory and triumph. But when Christ came first, he came in a manger. It was a lowly birth. He wasn't born with a silver spoon, as some may say. However, when Christ comes back, he's coming with a shout. You will know when he comes.
Amen.
You will see him. Every eye will see him. We read that some will wail. If you're outside the body of Christ, the coming of Christ might be a little too much for you. But for us who are in the body of Christ, when we see Christ, we'll be filled with joy.
Amen.
Because he has come back to gain the kingdom.
Amen.
And also, the dead in Christ shall rise first. What does it mean to be dead in Christ? Well, when you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into Christ's death.
Amen.
When Christ died, we just partook of the Lord's Supper. When Christ died, he shed his blood, and he gave his life for so many. However, when we are baptized into that same death. The same death that Christ partook in for us, we also follow into that same death so that we can be saved. So the dead in Christ shall rise first. If you're dead, does God want someone to stay dead? Does God, when you are dead in Christ, does he want you to continue to be dead? No, God wants you to live. That's why Christ is coming back, and the dead in Christ shall rise. God wants you to live. We took place in this death, and we mortified our members, the dead in Christ shall rise.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Even Christ didn't stay dead. He arose. And when Christ arose, he showed himself by many infallible proofs, or in other words, undeniable proofs, that, hey, I am alive. Because we serve the God of the living and not of the dead.
Amen.
So he showed many infallible proofs, or many proofs that cannot be denied. He even showed himself to his disciples. Some of his disciples couldn't believe that Christ had risen. One of them being Thomas. Thomas saying, I want to feel his hands and see where they pierced him for me to believe. And when Christ showed himself to Thomas, he said, here are my hands, they are pierced. He said, truly, you have believed and have seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen.
Amen.
We are those people who have not seen, and yet we believe.
Amen.
Blessed are those who believe and have not seen.
All right.
Also, he spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When Christ was alive, he preached the kingdom of God. The Jews didn't like that. They put him to death. When Christ came back, what did he do? Preach the kingdom of God. It's funny how the word of God or the gospel doesn't change. Christ continued to preach the same things that they put him to death over. He did it boldly. And that's how we should be. We should be preaching the gospel.
Amen.
The true gospel. There's only one gospel.
Amen.
And I'm sorry to say that if anyone comes to you with the gospel that we have not received, let him be accursed.
Amen.
So Christ preached that same powerful gospel, that same powerful message, which is the kingdom of God. He preached it to anyone who was around him, anyone who would listen. This is what he did when he came back to life or was raised from the dead at that time. And showed himself by many infallible proofs, many very effective proofs that he's alive. He showed himself to his disciples. For an example, one of his disciples, well, two of his disciples, his mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, came to see if he had risen from the dead. And the angel there told him, saying, "Why seek ye the living with the dead?" Now, to me, that is a very good, that is a very good question right there. Christ has said, you know, "I'm coming back. I'm going to die. I'm going to be gone for 3 days, but I'm coming back. I'm going to be alive." So the angel said, "Why seek the living with the dead?" You wouldn't do that, would you? Why seek the living with the dead? Because Christ said he would be risen from the dead. So, if he's risen from the dead, why come here looking for a dead person? Doesn't make any sense. So, Christ did what he said he was going to do. He told his disciples, "Hey, I'm going to be taken. They're going to arrest me and put me to death. But in 3 days, I will raise and be alive again." And that's what he did. He continued to preach the kingdom of God. Let's drop down to verse 6 and 7. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Let's read verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost which is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me, unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So the disciples here, so eager to see the Lord again, Jesus Christ, so excited, asked them, "Is now the time that you'll restore the kingdom of God?" Christ told them, "No, it's not for you to know the time wherein I will restore the kingdom of God, which Amen. The Father had put him in his own power." They were wondering, is this the end? Is this what we've been waiting for? Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom? We know that when Christ will restore the kingdom is on the last day. It's the last day that when Christ will restore the kingdom. And like we just read, he's coming down with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise. When Christ comes this time, there will be no confusion over whether this is Christ. We will know that this is the true Christ. Christ said in the ending times, "Beware, there will be many coming saying that they are the Christ, but believe them not, because they are not the Christ." When Christ comes again, he will come to receive his church, and there will be no confusion, no confusion at all, whether he has come or whether he has not come. In verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So, there you have it. Christ was received into heaven. He did what he said he was going to do. He said, "I'm going to come. I'm going to be arrested. They're going to put me to death. But in 3 days' time, I will be raised from the dead. And then again, as we read, he went along using many infallible proofs or undeniable proofs, very effective proofs, that he is alive and that he is Christ. He did that for 40 days. He walked amongst men once again. Who can do that but Christ? Who can do that? Who can be dead and then come back alive and walk around with people like nothing happened? Only Christ. Only Christ. And then, as we just read, he was taken back up into heaven. A cloud received him out of their sight. And it's in heaven where Christ is now until he is instructed by the Father to come and receive the church. Christ will return to deliver his kingdom. He is the firstborn of the dead. And when Christ returns, it will be in power. Let's read 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What manner of love is here? That God sent his Son to die for all men, so that all men can come to repentance and be saved. What manner of love is this? It would be hard, I could imagine, to give your own child. We read that Jesus is the only begotten of God.
Amen.
We read in the Old Testament, this person begat this person, this person begat this person, a long list if you read the book of Chronicles. Well, God begat Christ. God somehow had Christ.
Amen.
He is the only begotten. He is the only child of God. He's the only way. No one else can save you, because God only has one child. And it's through him that we are saved.
Amen.
So, back here, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, what manner of love the Father have bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. When Christ came, he was rejected by many. Actually, there were a great number of people who loved Jesus. There was a great number of people who followed Jesus. There was a great number of people that were his disciples. But at the same time, there were a lot of people who just couldn't stand Christ. So the world knew him not. And the world continues not to know Christ.
Amen.
The world doesn't know Christ, because they do the things that are against the Father. And when you do the things that are against the Father, Christ does not know you. Neither do you know him. So the world knoweth us not, because it knoweth him not. So when we are baptized, the world doesn't know us either, because it doesn't know Christ, because it is doing the things that the Father has said not to do. And if you do that, you do not know Christ. And on the last day, he will confess, "I know you not." That's the most saddest saying that you can ever hear, for Christ to say, "I know you not." But he does know us when we follow his word. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what you shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 4, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When Christ comes back to receive his saints, in a twinkling of an eye, will be as he is. What a glorious opportunity that is to be like God.
Amen.
Well, you can be like God by being godly. What's being godly? Following his word, doing what he's asked us to do. That's being godly. That's being as him. But we know that when he comes back in a twinkling of an eye, we will really be as him. We'll be as him perfectly. And every man that have this hope in him purifies himself, even as God is pure. God is pure. There is no unrighteousness in God.
Amen.
There is no sin in God. He is unchanging. We sing the song, "Hold to God's unchanging hand."
Amen.
He's unchanging. He's perfect. So, every man that hath this hope in him, purify himself, even as Christ, as God, is pure. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all our partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Why not be in subjection to the Father of spirits? God is the maker of all things. He's the creator of all things. He's the Father of spirits. Why not be in subjection to him? Why not, when God says, do this, do that, we're like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Being in subjection to God. Because God sometimes does correct us. Remember, we are baptized, and we are made sons of God, just as Christ is. And so, if we be sons of God, he will correct us. And when he corrects us, we're supposed to take him in a loving tone, because he has done it out of love.
Amen.
And let's be in subjection to God, because that is the way that we ought to be. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Which is our scripture reading. What type of government is this where the leader is assassinated or killed and he comes back? That shows the power of the church over reigning over governments of the world. What government has that? So, like the scripture says, Christ has gone into heaven. It's on the right hand of God. The right hand of God is the highest place you can possibly be. You are right there at hand of the Lord. This happened when Christ died. When Christ died, the Jews thought they had destroyed him. But Christ is now at the right hand of God making intercession for us. So they did not destroy Christ. Christ is reigning. He is reigning. He is Lord. He is the head of the church.
Amen.
Which is head of the church, which will never be destroyed. Christ is superior to the Jews who slayed him. While we're still in 1 Peter, let's turn to chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. 2, 4 through 10, 1 Peter. To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Christ is this stone.
Amen.
He is a living stone. We know that we serve the living God.
Yeah.
So Christ is this stone, this living stone, this stone that cannot perish. So, disallowed indeed of men. Disallowed means rejected. When Christ came, he was rejected. He was sent here to save mankind. And it seems like mankind would cooperate with him, seeking the salvation of their souls. But he was disallowed indeed of men. He was rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God. He was chosen of God. Like when Christ was baptized, a voice from heaven said, "Here's my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." God always chose Christ. However, the world did not choose Christ, and the world will continue not to choose Christ. The world will choose the world. And precious. To us, Jesus Christ is precious. He is our Savior. He is Master. But unto others, may not be it so. Ye also, as lively stones, verse 5, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We also are lively stones because we've been baptized. And we are built up a spiritual house as stones because we are the body of Christ, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Okay, Jesus Christ came. He was rejected by the Jews. But guess what? He's made the chief cornerstone anyway. He is the head of the church. He is on the right hand of God. Christ is superior to them. Verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Once again, Christ is the head cornerstone. And once again, to us, he is precious. We love Jesus. Jesus has saved us. But unto them which are disobedient, maybe not so. He is the stone that the builders rejected. Once again, when Christ came, he came lowly. He was born where the animals rest, in a manger. But when he comes back the second time, it'll be in power. It will be with a shout. Christ is coming back. He will receive his kingdom, a kingdom that will never be done away with. Let's read Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time, the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law. So here, Christ has completely, Christ was sent here to do away with the law. And to be able to do away with the law, he would have to first be under the law. He would have to be a Jew. So when we read here, the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman. His mother was Jewish, made under the law. And so by being made under the law, you might do away with the law. The old law, everyone couldn't be saved. You have to be first a Jew, and even then, your sins were never washed away. But when Christ came, he did away with that law so that everyone's sin, from one corner of the earth to another corner of the earth, anyone's sin can be washed away in his blood. And that was the whole plan from the beginning. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The Jews used to be puffed up because they were like, oh, we have such faithful people like Abraham. We have faithful people like Moses, like David, like Aaron, who can save us. We don't have to do anything. Their righteousness can save us. Mm-hmm. We know now, we know that no one's righteousness can save your sin, you from your sins. If you're going to get to heaven, it's going to be because you have done the work. But the Jews felt like this, and still, I'm sure, still do feel that Moses and Abraham, they can save me. We know that it's through the righteousness of Christ that we are saved. Because Christ had no sin whatsoever. And so it is him by which you are saved. So when Christ did away with the law, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thought that we can all be together. Amen. In Christ. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So, Christ is the Son of the Lord. And by that, he's equal with God. No other religion, Christ is superior to all world religions. No other religion is it where you have your Savior the same, being the same as God. No one is comparable to God except Christ. And so, Christ is superior to all religions. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. We used to be captive under sin. And sin controlled our lives. But Christ left captivity captive. So what once kept us captive, he led that captive. So we are free. Let's read verse 9 and 10. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Christ even defeated the devil. No human has the power to defeat the devil because we all sin. We all are defeated by the devil day by day. But Christ was able and strong enough and powerful enough to defeat the devil after he descended into the earth after his death. And if you're into Islam, the Prophet Muhammad cannot save you. If you're a Jewish, Abraham and Moses cannot save you.
Amen.
Christ can save you.
Amen.
And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice for henceforth, for even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here's the many names, wonderful names of Christ. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we read that his kingdom, his throne, shall never be destroyed. He will establish it with judgment and with justice. Henceforth, even forever, forevermore will Christ do this. And the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's no way you can defeat Christ. He is at the right hand of God and has the most authority.
Amen.
Finally, let's read Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So Christ is that image of God. No one else is this image of God but Christ, the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. And he has all authority, as we can read from verse 16. So, if you are here this morning, let Christ reign.
Amen.
He's already reigning. But will you allow him to reign over you?
Amen.
That's the choice. And it's not grievous when Christ reigns over you. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is easy. What's hard, taskmaster of sin. If you don't want sin to rule in your life, you must come forward. We have water here, which will be what baptism, full immersion. Some places sprinkle over the head. You don't do that. You do a burial. You are buried, once again, when we're talking about being dead in Christ, you are buried into Christ's death in the waters of baptism. You come up a new creature. Let Christ reign in your life. He's already reigned. Let him reign over you. Come forward now to the garrison.